U.S. leaders are still debating whether to act again to stimulate the U.S. economy. Democratic House leaders have proposed a massive aid package, but top Republicans in the Senate are not on board. Meanwhile, the stock market had a rough week, and nearly 3 million laid-off workers applied for U.S. unemployment benefits last week. It's against this backdrop we reached out to Michigan senior Senator Debbie Stabenow. She joins us from Washington, D.C. Senator Stabenow, welcome back to Stateside.
It's always good to be with you.
This week, you and some colleagues called on the Trump administration to fully fund federal commitments to mental health and substance abuse clinics, funding that's become jeopardized during the pandemic, like so many other things. It's not as if the structures that deal with physical health don't have their own funding problems at the moment. But is there a reason why, out of the trillions that have been allocated for emergency coronavirus funding, so little of it is allocated for mental health?
This is always what happens with mental health and addiction services, is that these services, which are critical, are not viewed as healthcare unless we are pushing to make it so. You know, I refer to it as healthcare above the neck as well as healthcare below the neck. And we know that in normal circumstances, one out of five people in our country will have some kind of mental illness in their lifetime. This is part of healthcare. And so what happens, though, is that we fund healthcare without those of us pushing, without people standing up and saying something. Over and over again, I've seen the mentally ill and people with addiction left behind. And so my colleagues and I are doing this major effort to say, at this moment, when there's more need than ever under COVID-19, we cannot leave anybody behind. And that means anyone with a mental illness or with addiction.
Senator, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the latest COVID relief bill, the version most recently drafted by Democratic leaders in the House. It's called the HEROES Act, suggests relief for state and local governments, tribes, a great many things involved in here. And all told, it's a $3 trillion piece of legislation. What sounds realistic to you to pass in the Senate?
Well, I'm hopeful that we can pass what the House has done, and I want very much to support their efforts. When we talk about state and local governments, by the way, we're also talking our frontline workers, our healthcare workers, our mental health workers, I mean, that are in the community, as well as working through the state, public health, law enforcement, schools, I mean, all of those things that are so critical. So it is incredibly important that governors and mayors and county commissioners have stepped up to use their funding to rush in to protect people's health care and save lives, aren't now in a situation where they have to cut services and frontline workers right at a time when we need them the most.
Well, can a $3 trillion cost be borne?
Well, I think at this point in time, when we look at what Treasury and the Federal Reserve has done in putting forth more than that in terms of businesses, liquidity in the marketplace for businesses, this is every bit as important in providing what we need to tackle the health pandemic, to keep the first responders working, to be able to fund those things in public services and education and healthcare and law enforcement and all those other things that are critically important at this time. So, and I do want to give a shout out that they have over $3 billion in their bill for mental health and addiction services, which is a great step forward. And they make sure that the current funding, they expand funding for health systems and specifically talk about behavioral health, which is also important. And so they do recognize the importance of behavioral health here. But if we don't get our arms around this pandemic as a healthcare crisis, number one, we will not be able to safely reopen the economy, which we must do, by the way. We must do it. But it's not either or. We have to make sure people are safe, that we are managing this health crisis, and then we are opening things up in a smart way that supports businesses through testing, through information, so that we know that the people who are staying home are the people who have the virus and not everybody else, because we don't know. Information is absolutely critical right now. And so are public services. That's the big debate.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is maintaining a firm stance that if anything else is going to pass, that businesses need liability protection as they reopen. Will the final deal include that immunity, do you predict?
I can't imagine at the time that we're wrestling with just saving people's lives in this country and providing protections to frontline workers like nurses and doctors, and as well as those that are keeping our food supply going in a meatpacking plant, or somebody working in a grocery store, the post office, that's the only thing that he can think of right now is, you know, how to predominantly protect the interests of big business. I think we've got to start with the basics right now, and that is, how do we keep ourselves safe? How do we get our arms around this so that our schools can reopen, so that our businesses can reopen, that we can have some confidence that there's a coordinated national strategy on testing and finding a vaccine moving forward? I mean, those are the things that we need to be focused on right now.
You've said it's incumbent on America to face its healthcare issues in a more general sense. What do you think is an appropriate goal? Once the federal government can catch its breath, so to speak, what do you have in mind? Something like a Medicare for All plan that would ensure that all Americans had a basic minimum of coverage?
Well, we have to have a universal health care system that's affordable for everyone, and we can debate which structure that takes. But we have to move forward on that. And so whether it's making Medicare available as a public option, whether it's lowering the age to age 50, which I've suggested, certainly we have to tackle the cost of prescription drugs. And if Medicare was doing bulk purchasing, we'd dramatically drop the cost, like the VA has for our veterans. So we certainly have to tackle all of those things. I would also say, coming out of this, that we have to understand that public health is essential to fund. Unfortunately, in the past, it shouldn't be a partisan issue, but we've had Republican colleagues that really referred to public health funding infrastructure is somehow government waste, not necessary. We certainly are seeing that this is necessary right now. And we've got to make sure that the things put in place by previous presidents, including the comprehensive policy approaches and planning put together by the Obama administration, the national health pandemic experts that were in the National Security Council before, who were removed and fired by the current president, are put back, so that we are working continually with other countries on what we need to do in terms of future pandemics. The risk of viruses in this world now, where we're traveling all around the world all the time, the climate is changing, there are so many different factors that are affecting where viruses go and how they go. We have to take this very seriously. It's not just something now, but that something that could and will happen in the future if we're not prepared, and if we're not serious about it. So public health infrastructure moving forward to protect us as part of our national security has to be done in a comprehensive way.
Just one more issue to raise, if you have time.
Sure.
You alluded to the fact that President Trump recently ordered America's meatpacking plants to stay open, invoking defense production powers. You have said that you would prefer a focus on workers' health. Given your long experience with agricultural issues, what do you think is the way to make sure that workers in such plants in Michigan and elsewhere, all of whom work for low wages under very close conditions, can stay healthy and get some kind of treatment if they are infected?
Well, we have to start with people's health. It's not, you know, when we say people are essential, it does not mean they're expendable. And without the proper equipment, protective equipment, without the efforts to test and see who should be going to work or not, without designing the workplace in a way that protects people, then that means they are expendable. And I reject that. And so you know, I think with the meatpacking plants, and one of the things very concerning to me, and by the way, we need them to be open. We need an agriculture supply chain for our farmers and for all of us as consumers. I'm deeply involved in supporting efforts there. But the administration's response has been to order that plants be open, but to not require that OSHA and other safety standards be met for the workers when the plant opens. And then Mitch McConnell turns around and wants to argue for immunity, liability protections for a business like a meatpacking plant who didn't protect their workers. Now, that is shocking to me. So, you know, I'm fighting, my Democratic colleagues and I are fighting to put people first. And that does mean keeping the plant open safely. And when I look at, you know, our auto manufacturers working with the UAW in a thoughtful way, trying to change the way the plants are set up and the protective equipment and going through all of these things to do everything possible, working with their employees to try to figure out how to do this safely, that's what should be done with every employer, making sure that we are doing this the right way. And again, it's the only way we're going to have the economy open up, because ultimately we will be forced to close again if people feel like they're forced to be in a situation to work in unsafe circumstances, and then the virus spreads and we will see this happen again in terms of shutting down the economy and more deaths. Nobody wants that. So we can do it the right way if we work together.
Senator Stabenow, thanks for the check-in.
You're welcome.
Debbie Stabenow, Senator from Michigan, joining us from Washington, D.C.